everyone, and welcome to this year's virtual Nili Yarchikala. It was great already getting to, my name is Mrs. Emma Katz, and it was so nice already getting to see some of you at breakfast and sore sheet pickup this morning. So thank you to everyone who came out. I'm really looking forward to two fantastic days of learning together. I think in times when it's so hard to see one another, so hard to physically come together, times like this, when we can come together and join together in learning, are so important. We have more women than ever registered to participate over the next 2 days. And I'm really looking forward, even if it's just seeing your face on the screen, to seeing everyone over the next 2 days. You are all on mute. If you have a question, feel free to write in the chat and I will get to it at the end of this year. So again, for anyone who just joined, my name is Mrs. Emma Katz. Today, we are just a few days before Tisha B'Av, in the auspicious time of year of the 9 days, the time from Rosh Chodesh Av until Tisha B'Av. And we know each year that these are scary times. These are times that we are limited on what we can do, on what we can enjoy, that we think about and mourn the tragedies that have happened to the Jewish people. However, right now, I want everyone to take themselves back. I want to think that we are not in the year 2020 on Zoom at the Nili Yarchikala. Think about being in the days post Chorban Bayit Sheni, in the days after the destruction of the Second Temple. Everything you have known your entire life has just been destroyed. There is no longer a religious center. There is no longer a center of communal life. You don't know how to connect to the people around you. You do not know what unites you any longer. And you no longer, most importantly, know how to connect to God. It seems as if your God has abandoned you. You are alone. Your beautiful temple that you were so used to seeing as that beautiful image up high on the mountain is gone. Everything is so desolate, so empty. And I want you to put yourself in the shoes of the people at that time. There are many Gemaras that describe to us what people were feeling at that time. And one of those is the Gemara in Bava Batra. If everyone has the source sheet, if you either printed it before or it is in the chat for anyone who did not print it before. The Gemara says, Tanu Rabbanan. Kishacharav habayit b'hashniya, ravu pirushin b'Yisrael. One of the reactions that came from the Jewish people at that time was many people turned towards asceticism. Shelo lechol basar v'shelo lishtot yayin. They said, how could we, in a time like this, eat meat any longer or drink wine any longer? And we know today that during the 9 days, we don't eat meat and we do not drink wine. However, they were taking this on as their entire way of life. Nitafel lahem Rabbi Yoshua, Amar lahem. Rabbi Yoshua comes to these people and he says, Banai, my children, mipnei ma yatem ochlim basar ve'ein otem shotim yayin. Why have you refrained from eating meat and drinking wine? What is the purpose for your actions? Ve'ein atem shut amrulo nechol basar shemimenu makrivin al gabei amizbeach va'ashav batel. How could we eat meat at this time? Meat, the entire purpose of enjoying meat in this world was for the karbanot, was for the sacrifices. How could we enjoy meat any longer? Nishte yayin shemachnisin al gabei amizbeach v'achshav batel. How can we enjoy wine that its entire purpose was to pour it on the mizbeach at our times of joy? How could we drink wine? How could we enjoy it any longer? V'achshav batel amar lahem im kein lechem lo nochal. If so, will you also not eat bread? Lo nechal shekfar batlu menachu. Because there were also the karbanot that were made out of flour. Will you no longer eat bread? Efshar, the payrot, they said, yes, I guess we will not eat bread anymore. We will subsist on fruit. Payrot lo nochal, shekfar batzlu bikurim. So Rabbi Yoshua said, But if you're having this mindset, you also cannot eat fruit because there no longer Bikurim. There is no longer the offering of the first fruits. Efshar Mepeirut Acherim. So they said, okay, that was just the seven species. We'll exist on just the other fruits. Mayim Lo Nishta. And he says to them, finally, will you not enjoy water any longer? But tell Nisuch HaMayim, because we no longer have the pouring of the water that happened on Sukkot in the Beis HaMikdash. Will we no longer drink water? Shatku. And at this, they were quiet. And Rabbi Yeshua understood that the people were in such pain. They could not figure out how to go on any longer, but it seemed impossible to go on. They realized that they must continue living, which is why they could not cut themselves off from water. But how could they mentally go on? How were they able to continue going? And the rest of the Gemara goes on to give them a way to mourn every single day. And these were a number of the rules that we now have today that are Zechar L'Chorban, whether it's leaving a block in your house unpainted, Zechar L'Chorban, in remembrance of the destruction, or it's placing ashes on a groom's head right before he walks down the aisle to his chuppah. All of these things are Zechar L'Chorban, and it was Rabbi Yeshua taking and realizing that the people were in such a state of mourning that mourning had to be a part of their every being. There was such a sense of despair that they had to remember the Chorban every single day. So on the one hand, we have this extreme desperation, this despair and this anxiety of the people of Bnei Israel after the Chorban HaMikdash, after the destruction of the temple. However, at the same time, we have a number of Gemaras that discuss Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai. Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai was one of the leaders at the time. And he, after the destruction of the temple, reestablished the Sanhedrin, the leading court in Yavne. And he was the one who took our worship of God from sacrifice to prayer. He established that transition. And most of the transition to rabbinic Judaism is based in the Takanot, in the ordinances that were instated by Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai. And the Gemara discusses a number of specific ordinances. One of these is discussed in the Gemara Rosh Hashanah. It says, Tinu Rabbanan, Ein kohanim roshim la'alot besad aleihem l'duchan, v'zo echad mitisha takano shehitgen Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai. So one of the first Takanot, one of the first ordinances that he instated, was that kohanim may not wear their shoes when they go up in shul to give Berachat Kohanim. As many people have seen, my husband also is a Kohen, and it's a big stress to make sure your socks match, you have cool socks when you go up to Duchim. But most people don't think, why can't the Kohen go up wearing his shoes? Wouldn't it seem more proper? And we're going to continue on, and we'll get an explanation of that when we discuss the further Takanot. It says in the Gemara in Menachot, Mishachirev bis hamikdash hitkin Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, Sheyehei Yom Hanif Kulo Asar. There is a rule of Chadash that the entire year we may not eat from the grain, from the new grain, until the second day of Pesach when we bring the Karban HaOmer, which allows us to eat all of the grain that was harvested until that point in the year. The grain goes from Chadash, new, to Yashan, to old wheat, which does not mean stale. It just means that it was from after they brought the Karban HaOmer, which allows us to eat it. And in the time of the Beis HaMikdash, they used to have to wait until halfway through the day when the Karban HaOmer was brought on the second day of Pesach, and then it would be allowed. Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai made this takana, he made an ordinance that since the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, they may not eat the new grain until the following day. And why is that? And this will also give us the answer to the previous takana and all of the other takanot that Rabbi Yochanan created. My tama mehira yibane hamikdash. V'yomru eshtakid mi lo achlanu beha'ir mizrach hashtana minichol. Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai says, mehira yibane hamikdash. So soon the Beis HaMikdash will be rebuilt. Tomorrow it will be rebuilt. And I don't want you to have gotten so set in your ways that you think of last year and say, last year, first thing in the morning on the second day of Pesach, we ate the grain. Therefore, this year, we can eat the grain. However, we would know that because the Beis HaMikdash had been rebuilt, they were supposed to wait until halfway through the day, until the Karban was brought. So he said, I don't want people to make this mistake when next year we are back in the Beis HaMikdash. I don't want them to make this mistake. In the same way that just like the Kohanim couldn't wear their shoes in the Beis HaMikdash to give Berachas Kohanim, I don't want them to do it when we're in Galus, because by next time they duchen, I want them to remember that since we are back in the Beis HaMikdash, they can no longer wear their shoes. He says that the Geula is coming so soon. By tomorrow, we will be back in the Beis HaMikdash. Let's not get set in Galus. We can't think we're here forever. By tomorrow, Mashiach will be here, and we have to be ready to practice in the proper way. And Rabban Yochanan Medakai made nine of these takanot. They are all brought down in the Gemara. Another one is brought down in the Gemara and Tainus that it says, V'hatanya Rabbi Omer, Omer eini kohanim asurim l'shtot yayin l'olam. Aval ma'a sesha tiknu kelkoloto v'amru abaye kima'an shatu ha'idna kohani hamra. He says, kohanim are never allowed to drink wine. And why is that? Because we know that a kohen cannot serve in the mikdash if he is drunk, or as if he has drank any wine. So he says, what we don't want is for Mashiach to come within the amount of time that it takes for the alcohol to wear off, and there will be no kohen available for the service. A question is asked later on in the Gemara that says, what about cutting their hair? It's a rule kohanim must always have their hair cut in order so that they are be able to be presentable and orderly to serve in the mikdash. And he says, how come kohanim don't need to get a haircut every single day? And he said, we would be able to wait the few minutes it would take to cut the kohen's hair, but the mikdash will be here so soon that we can't afford to wait that much time until the alcohol were to wear off. We need kohanim ready to serve immediately. That was how soon Rabban Yochanan ben Zakkai felt that the mikdash was coming. So with having understood these two Gemaras, I would like to ask the question, how is it humanly possible to be in a place of such despair, such mourning, such grief, and right away be in the place of Rabban Yochanan ben Zakkai and say, Mehera Yibon HaMikdash, the mikdash is going to be rebuilt tomorrow. We have to be ready. We are going to the mikdash tomorrow. We can't even wait for our wine to wear off. We're going to be there so soon. It doesn't seem realistic, even for the most optimistic of people. I would venture to say it is impossible to be living in such a terrible present and say, so soon it's going to be amazing. We're going to be there. We're going to be at our ultimate goal in mere moments. How can we understand both of these Gemaras? And just for everyone to think on a personal level, everyone has experienced times when they feel so down. They feel like things just aren't working out. And you know that even if you tell yourself, it's going to be great, in a few minutes, I'm going to be fine, it's going to all be fantastic, it's really hard. You can't shake that feeling of, but what if it's not? But right now, it just doesn't seem like it will be. So what do we do? And the Gemara gives us some guidance on this. There is a Gemara that discusses the questions that Hashem will ask us immediately upon our arrival in heaven at 120 years old. We will arrive in heaven, and there are some core questions that will be asked upon our arrival. And the Gemara says, I'm sorry, it might be a few sources down on your source sheet. The Gemara says, at the time when a person comes up for the ultimate judgment, Omrim lo, nasata v'natata be'emuna, did you deal with issues of emuna? Kavata itim la'Torah, did you set aside time for Torah learning? Asakta v'peria v'rivya, were you engaged in procreation? Sipisa le Yeshua, did you Yearn, were you Mitsaka for? I don't want to clearly define that right now, but were you Mitsaka for? Did you long for? Did you hope for? Did you yearn for the Geula? Pelta b'chachma, did you deal with issues of wisdom? Havanta davar mitoch davar, did you infer things? Did you learn one thing out from another? And it goes on to discuss what will happen then. My question is, this seems to be the guidance of how are we meant to look towards the Ge'ula? We had that question. We said, are we really supposed to be like Rabban Yochanan ben Zakkai, who was sitting in the moment, in the deep desperation of the post-Korban world and was able to say, it's going to be okay. We're almost there. It's going to be fine tomorrow. Are we supposed to be like that? And the Gemara gives us this guidance that after 120 years, you are meant to be able to answer, see, peace of the Yeshua. I yearned for salvation. I hoped for salvation. I looked towards the salvation. That's what we're meant to feel. But what does that mean? The Chafetz Chaim classically understood it in the Rabban Yochanan ben Zakkai model. The Chafetz Chaim is famous, Rabbi Yisrael Meir Kagan, for his work on Lashon Hara, that he taught each of us to be aware of what we're saying, to work on our Shmiras HaLashon, to be careful about not speaking badly about other people. However, if you look in each and every one of the Chafetz Chaim's works, he discusses Mashiach. He was fixated on the coming of Mashiach. He was speaking to the people in pre-World War II Poland, saying, Mashiach's coming. It's dark right now, but Mashiach's coming. He wrote an entire work called Sipisa LeYeshua, telling everybody not that we hope Mashiach is coming, not that we think Mashiach is coming. Mashiach is coming right now. The Chafetz Chaim was famous, people said. He was waiting at the door. He had his suitcase packed. He was standing at the entrance of his home, always waiting that in the next moment, Mashiach was going to be there. He truly and deeply believed that. It's like Lahavdil completely to separate. But just to give an analogy, he's that person that has prepared. He has researched everything leading up to Black Friday. He knows exactly what he wants. He is running for those deals, and he is going to be the first one at the door. He is not going to miss this opportunity. So too the Chafetz Chaim. He prepared. He opened yeshiva focused on learning about the Karbanot. He prepared his students. He wrote about it. He spoke about it and said, Mashiach is coming right now. We must be ready. We are going tomorrow. It's dark right now, but we are leaving. We are ready. And that's how the Chafetz Chaim viewed his life. So that is one approach. That's one translation of Sipisa LeYeshua. That did you want it so much that you felt it was a reality? It was coming tomorrow. It was incumbent on each person to pack and be ready for Mashiach. So that is one approach. And that's the classic approach. And while the Chafetz Chaim was a tremendous tzaddik, and that path has so much merit, but I think that for so many people, that is just too difficult. It's just too hard to be able to say, everything is difficult right now, but Mashiach's coming tomorrow. I don't see it right now. I don't feel it right now, but I'm going to prepare. I'm going to be ready. I'm going to be out the door, leaving for Mashiach, because I know he'll be here tomorrow. And to deeply feel that in your heart of hearts, and use that to fuel you moving forward. It's really, really difficult to think that way. Think of that goal that you're reaching for. There's somewhere you want to get to. You want to be that perfect mom, that perfect employee, that you want to rise in your company. And you think, whatever it is, I'll be there tomorrow. I'll be there tomorrow. I don't see it happening right now, but tomorrow is going to be perfect. It's going to be amazing. Each day that we don't reach that goal is a disappointment. If we're just hoping for it, if we're just thinking and hoping that it will come tomorrow, if we have that optimism, but it doesn't come by the next day, then we view each day that passes as a disappointment, as a letdown. There's that feeling of being deflated the next morning when you realize, I woke up in Chicago, Illinois, and I didn't wake up in a rebuilt Yerushalayim Ir HaKodesh. I'm back at square one. I'm where I was yesterday. And I didn't think I'd be here. I genuinely believed I wouldn't be. So I would like to introduce another approach that I think can give us a way to really apply this idea of being mitzapeh liyeshua, yearning for the salvation, yearning for the geula in our everyday lives. To introduce this idea, I need to give a slight Kabbalistic background. And while I am far from a Kabbalist, I really enjoy learning Chassidus, the works of the Hasidic masters. And in order to learn Chassidus, there are some Kabbalistic concepts that come up every now and again. One of these concepts is the idea that when the world was created, the Arizal explains that prior to the creation of the world, God was everywhere. He was in everything. He filled up, obviously, as an amorphous being, the entire world. The force of God filled the entire world. And I know this Kabbalah stuff is not for everybody, but trust me, it'll give us a great background to an answer that I think will work for everybody. God filled all of the space. He was everywhere. He was everything. And in a space that is completely filled with God, that God is everywhere and everything, there is no space and there is no need for human beings. So the Arizal brings down this famous concept in Kabbalah called the Tzimtzum, the minimization, the constriction of the godly force. That in order to create the world, God constricted himself. He minimized himself. He pulled out from spaces in the world to make space for human beings. And these spaces were called the halal. They were left empty. They are spaces of emptiness. And the Arizal tells us that our goal as human beings is to bring down the kav. There is the tzimtzum, Hashem minimized himself, creating a halal, a vacancy, an emptiness. And our goal is to fill it with the kav. The kav is a direct emanation of God's force to fill this space in the world. So kav, which means direct emanation, is meant to fill in these empty spaces. So again, when we talk about, people often say, bring God into your life, bring God into that space. We're meant to bring God into our homes, into our marriages, into our relationships with our parents and our children. How Kabbalah understands this is you're bringing the kav, the direct light of God, back into a space that you have found to be empty. You are replacing God in where he once was. And it is by your active initiation, you are able to do that. You are able to refill that space. So the word kav, this direct emanation of God, notably is the same source, same root of the word, kivoy, tikva, hope. There must be a symbolism in this. And Rav Yaakov Moshe Charlap, one of the students of Rav Kook, explains to us why that is. Why is kav, this word for the direct emanation of God's light into the world, of our ability to bring God into the world, why is that the same as the Hebrew word for hope? What do we learn from this? And Rav Yaakov Moshe Charlap says, Erka shel hatzipia liyeshua, hu yoter elyon meha'erech shel gilei ha'yeshua atzma. He goes back to our Gemara of tzipisa liyeshua and translates it to understand this concept. And he says, the tzipia liyeshua, the yearning for salvation, is greater than what we will achieve in the future. It's not just about focusing on something that will come. Shekin ha'yeshua hibis bilti sofit v'leolam bo yagiu al ha'katzei. Because the ultimate ge'ula is so grand, is so great, it seems so far off, it seems unattainable. Ulam hatzipia liyeshua kolelet akol ha'or ha'in sofi shel ha'yeshua. He says, what is the ge'ula? The ge'ula is the yearning for ge'ula. What is the ultimate ge'ula? The ultimate ge'ula is the Tzipi'ali Yeshua. And with this, I want to ascribe a translation that we'll use from this point forth. Based on the explanation of Rav Yaakov Moshe Charlap, the Tzipi'ali Yeshua, yearning for salvation, is not hoping for salvation. It's not being optimistic towards the idea of a salvation. It's aspiring towards a salvation. But what he is teaching us is that we are meant to live a life not focused on the future, not thinking about what could be. We are meant to live a life of elevating the present to reach that future. What does that mean? It means, as he continues on and says, "Hatzipiel Yeshua ido ella rakal ha'atid." It's not only about the future, elagam behove. The tzipiel Yeshua, that aspiration for the geula, is something that's in the present. It's about elevating the process. It's about bringing the geula into each and every moment today. It's about elevating our present space, opening up our present space for that goal of the Geula. Rabbi Joey Rosenfeld, who is a psychologist in St. Louis, who spends his life dedicated to meshing the ideas of Rabbi Nachman with ideas of modern day psychology. Very interesting if anyone would like to check it out. He understands this concept of hope based on many of the thinkers of our past generations, that hope is creating a present that is open to the future that you are hoping for. It's aspiring for a future. Hope is active. It's doing something to elevate today so that you reach your goal. And now, how do we understand all of our questions leading up to this in this light? First, to illustrate this point, he says that everything we are meant to do today should bring us to that goal, because that takes away the disappointment of tomorrow. If we wake up tomorrow and we did nothing today besides for hope that Mashiach will be here tomorrow, besides for think that Mashiach will be here tomorrow, then if Mashiach's not here tomorrow, we're greatly disappointed. But if we today work towards and take an active role in bringing that goal of Geula into our present, we realize that part of achieving the Geula tomorrow is us doing something today, then even if the final Geula is not there tomorrow, we have changed today. We have elevated today. We have been Mekadish. We have sanctified today so that tomorrow can be a better day, even if we're not at our ultimate goal. The Kedushas Levi, Rav Yitzchak of Berditcha, brings the example of childbirth, which the days before Mashiach are compared to. The days before Mashiach are called Chevle Mashiach, the birth pangs of Mashiach. And this was not just the choosing of a time of pain before a great and amazing time. He says, any doctor that walks into a delivery room is not alarmed when a woman is in pain, is not troubled by the fact that a woman is in pain, and doesn't assure her by saying, don't worry, after this pain is over, we'll have something amazing. You will have your baby in your hands. Rather, the doctor says, you have to embrace every contraction, as they say, and no woman wants to hear it while you're in it. Breathe into the contraction. Use that contraction to further you to your goal. Realize that with every burst of pain, you are one step closer to your goal. It's not that this pain is something bad and then will come something good. It's that each burst of pain is bringing you closer to the good. So if you think about it in that context, there is a little bit of good in that ultimate goal in every burst of pain. So too with the history of the Jewish people. That the Jewish people, it's not that so many terrible things have happened along the way, and then ultimately we're just going to get up, brush ourselves off and say, tomorrow it'll be great. Tomorrow it'll be amazing. Tomorrow it will all be fixed when Mashiach comes tomorrow. It's not about tomorrow. It's about realizing that in every burst of pain that we have experienced along the hard, tedious path leading to Mashiach, there has been a small taste of the Geula. That each of these pieces, Not that we asked for any of them, not that we wanted any of them, not that we understand why any of them happened. But with each of these, if we are able to bring the Ge'ula, change our mindset, bring it into our past, we are able to say that with every challenge that we encounter, we are one step closer to the Ge'ula. Someone who epitomized this worldview was Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva, it is told, was the eternal optimist. He was the one who began learning Torah at age 40 and believed he could reach high heights, and so he did. He was one of the most renowned scholars in our history, and he started learning the alphabet at age 40. And nobody was so encouraging besides for his wife. Rabbi Akiva was able to look at the world and see good in it. He saw a rock that had been worn away by drops of water, and he saw potential there. He even, as he was being killed by the Romans in such a brutal and cruel way, he saw an opportunity for a mitzvah. And Rabbi Akiva, it is said in the Gemara and Masechet Makot, Shuv pam echad hayu olin liYerushalayim, kivan shehagiu laharatzofim karu bigdayhem. Rabbi Akiva and a group of the other leaders at that time were walking through the ruins after the destruction of the temple. And when they saw the ruins, they tore their clothes. Kivan shehagiu laharabayit, when they arrived at the Temple Mount, ra'u shu'al sheyitzei mibeit kodshei hakudashim, hitchilu heim bochin v'Rabbi Akiva mitzachi. It says as these leaders were walking through, as they approached Yerushalayim, they tore their clothes. And as they came to Har Abayit, to the Temple Mount, they saw a fox run out from the ruins. And the rabbis began to cry. And while everyone else was crying, Rabbi Akiva began to laugh. Amrulo, they said to him, Mipnei ma ata mitzachek, why are you laughing? Amar lahem mipnei ma atem bochem. And he turned the question around and he said, why are you crying? Amrulo, makom shekatuv bo, uzaher hakariv yumat, v'achshav shualim halfim bo v'lo nifchet. They said, in such a holy place where human beings have to be careful about when they can approach this special place, this holy place, this sanctified place, we are so careful, and now there are foxes running around here. How could you not cry? Amar lahen, he said to them, L'kach ani mitzachik, it is because of this that I am laughing. Dichtiv, b'iva idali edim ne'amanim, et uriah hakohen, ve'et zechariah ben yivaryachayu. He says, I have two witnesses that support my position. He says, I have Uriah HaKohen and I have Zechariah. Two Nevi'im. V'chima inyan Uriah itzel Zechariah. What's the connection between the two? Uriah b'mikdash rishon v'Zechariah b'mikdash sheni. Uriah has nevuot about the first mikdash and Zechariah about the second. Ella, tzla ha-chatum nevuato shel Zechariah b'nevuato shel Uriah. He says, but there's a deeper connection. In the Nevuot of Zechariah, there is a contingency upon the Nevuot of Uriah. Be'uriah tiv galichen begalichen tzion tzadeh techrash. It says in the Nevuot of Uriah, in these terrible Nevuot, that there will be a day when the ruins of Yerushalayim will be plowed over. They will be completely destroyed. U'b'zachariah tiv de'od yeshuvu z'kein v'z'keinos berchovos Yerushalayim. And he says, and the beautiful nevuot of Zechariah, which are plastered all over the old city, that say, there will be a day when the z'keinim u'z'keinos, the elders of Yerushalayim, will be sitting and watching the young children of Yerushalayim playing in the streets. And there is a square in Yerushalayim where this is printed on the wall in a place where the elderly often sit and watch as school children play in their yard outside of their school. And Rabbi Akiva says, Ad shelo nitkayma nevuato shel Uriah, until I saw that today the nevuot of Uriah were fulfilled, hayiti mityarei shelo nitkayim nevuato shel Zechariah. I fear that we would never reach the point of Zechariah's nevuah being fulfilled. Now that I see that the nevuah of Uriah have been fulfilled, I know that because we have the nevuah of Uriah in our day today, and we will also have those nevuah of Zechariah. Because the nevuah of Zechariah are our ultimate goal. But the nevuah of Uriah is a step along that path. It assures us that if we are able to laugh like Rabbi Akiva, because we see the nevuah of Zechariah in the nevuah of Uriah today, that's when we'll be successful. That's when we'll be able to reach the nevuah of Zechariah. When we don't say, oh, terrible things happen, I believe good things will happen as well. Rather, we see the intricate connection that only because the nevuah of Uriah are happening today, will the nevuah of Zechariah happen as well. Only because there are challenges will we be able to aspire to our ultimate goal. Only because we take an active role of seeking out where that halal is, where that emptiness is today, finding those places and bringing the kav, bringing that direct emanation of God, bringing that kiboy, that hope into our present, only then can we be successful. Can we move forward? Can we bring the ge'ula into our today? And this is so relevant, not only to how we are meant to approach the ge'ula, that we are not meant to say, everything's terrible today, but today, tomorrow, we're going to have our bag packed, we're going to be out the door, Mashiach will be here tomorrow. The Jews were not meant to go from the nevuah of the feeling of we can't eat bread, we can't eat wine, we can't eat meat. They were not meant to go from there to Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai Mehevra Yibana HaMikdash. They weren't meant to just feel and think and hope and yearn that tomorrow it would be different. Rather, Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai is giving them the guidance and saying, Mehevra Yibana HaMikdash, so change today. He said, we are going to act today in a way that prepares us for the ge'ula, that makes us eligible and worthy for the ge'ula to be here tomorrow. That we don't say that if the ge'ula doesn't come tomorrow and if the ge'ula doesn't come for a set amount of time, these takanot are batel. These ideas go away. Rather, he says, we must act today. We must take those actions. We must change the way we behave today, anticipating, aspiring for a tomorrow that is filled with ge'ula. So we bring bits and pieces of the ge'ula into our day today in order to reach that final goal. Rabbi Lord Jonathan Sacks states beautifully the difference between optimism and hope. He says that optimism is the belief that things will get better. And he says as Jews, it is extremely difficult to be optimistic because we have not seen things get better. We have seen things time and time again be more and more difficult. He says, then there is hope. Hope is the belief that things can get better. That's one step further. And he says, if you believe things can get better, you put yourself into the equation. You take that active role. And what I'm saying is we're taking it even one step further. We are taking Rabbi Yaakov Moshe Harlap and we are saying, we aspire for ge'ula. To be mitzapeh liyeshua is to yearn for it, to work for it, to be willing to take that step, to bring the ge'ula into our lives today, to take small steps towards our ultimate goal so that if we don't reach our goal tomorrow, it's not a failure. Rather, we're still one step closer. So that we don't need to wait for Mashiach, for Avas Yisrael, to love our fellow Jew. We don't need to wait for Mashiach to work towards world peace. We don't need to wait for Mashiach to learn more Torah, Ki Malah Haaretz Deyas Hashem, that everyone should know Hashem's words. We can work for it today. And we don't need to wait for tomorrow to be the perfect mother. We take one step towards it today. We do something better than we did yesterday. We don't need to wait for tomorrow to be amazing or perfect at whatever we want to be. We can do it a little bit today. And with keeping our goal in mind, of what we are aspiring to, we can bring it in today. We bring God, we bring that kiwi into that space we have found to be empty, and we hope and aspire to the fact that eventually that will bring us to our ultimate goal. So may this year, in leading up to Tisha B'Av, may we feel empowered. May we feel that we have a role in bringing that ultimate Geula, that we are able to do something today that will bring us one step closer. We have the kiwi, we have the hope, we have the tzipia, that aspiration that will eventually bring us to our ultimate goal. So may we be zocha to see this in our everyday lives. Thank you for joining me today. And now you return to the website that you joined the Zoom link to choose your next session. Thank you so much for joining the Neely Arche Kala. It was a pleasure learning together with you this morning, and I look forward to learning more with you in the future. Have a great rest of the day. Enjoy all of your learning. Thank you.